Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Basadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Page 116. Srila Prabhupada adds, "The Lord is situated in everyone's heart as Sankarsana. And when a demon thinks himself one with the Supreme Lord, the Lord keeps him in that darkness. Although such a demoniac living entity is only an insignificant part of the Supreme Lord, he forgets his true position and thinks he is the Supreme Lord. Because this forgetfulness is created by Sankarsana, he is sometimes called Tamasi. The name Tamasi does not indicate that he has a material body. He is always transcendental, but because he is the supersoul of Lord Shiva, who must perform tamasic activities, Sankarsana is sometimes called Tamasi." Right? So in other words, sometimes. It's not a general. It's only in this connection. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "This great universe, situated on one of Lord Ananta's thousands of hoods, appears just like a white mustard seed. It is infinitesimal compared to the hood of Lord Ananta." Right, so this is the great universe situated on his thousands of hoods. So here's the whole universe is situated on a hood. So that's outside. Yeah. Right? Then we'll have inside. Right? So it's talked about both. Because the point is that Shiva is there and that he's still the super soul of Shiva. Right? Because Vishnu isn't the super soul of Vishnu. But he's still the super soul of Shiva. Even though Shiva's transformation, he's still in the heart because he always meditates upon him. Like that? So you see there's a slight difference there. Like that. The devotee is in Vishnu's heart. Like that. But it's the Lord who's in, it still is in Shiva's heart. Right? So, yes.
Can you speak about the rich universe? This means...
No, no, no. It means each universe is sitting on top of Ananta's head. But it's like a mustard seed. It appears like a white mustard seed. Right? Because white mustard seed, because they're called golden, Hiranyagarbha. So white mustard seeds are gold colored. So it's like if you took a white mustard seed and stuck it on his head. You can't even tell it's there. So that means all the different universes are held up by the Lord. Right? Then he, as Mahavishnu expands within the universe, then he comes within the universe. Yes, you know, so like that. So outside the universe, when we're dealing with the primary creation, then we have that element that he is the one who creates the attraction for the living entity to the material world, and he's the one that keeps them in ignorance because that's their desire. Right, so that means that's happening outside. That's in the primary creation. That principle is already in place, because there's already the material desire. Therefore, then the creation is started. Right, and again, when there's a material desire, then the lotus will expand from the Lord's navel. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you see is that he's involved at all levels of this, because that ahankar starts outside the universe. Already in the primary creation, you know, and then comes into each universe as primary, and then eventually Brahma manifests, so you get the secondary. Okay. At the time of devastation, when Lord Ananta desires to destroy the entire creation, he becomes slightly angry. Then, from between his two eyebrows, appear three-eyed Rudra, carrying a trident. This Rudra, who is known as Sankarsana, is the embodiment of the 11 Rudras, or incarnations of Lord Shiva. He appears in order to devastate the entire creation. Right, so that's the 11 Rudras, that's what they do. Right? Because we see is when Brahma asked Shiva to populate the universe, then, you know, he had the 11 Rudras, then they expanded, and then they just started destroying everything, so they figured, okay, that's okay, you're good, you know, you just relax, you know, just hang out with your wife and be happy, don't get involved in all this. Right? Is that... In his commentary to verse 3, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, because Maya is controlled by his desire, when Ananta greatly desired to destroy this universe, Idam, Rudra, made of anger, which is an effect of Tamas, belonging to Maya, made his appearance. Amarsha, Virachita, made of anger, modified Rudra. Right? So that meaning that word there is in connection with Rudra. It's not just like we were discussing this morning. We say political correctness. It's actually that correctness is modifying political, not the other way around. You know. So it's always important to know which word is modifying which one. So in this case, made of anger is modifying Rudra. Right? It should actually be. It should actually be Amarsha Virachita. Just as a lotus composed of Rajaguna appears from the navel of the second Purusha who desires to create, Rudra composed of Tamas appeared from the brow of Ananta when Ananta desires to destroy. Right? So you see there is also it's considered that Lord Shiva destroys things or Devi destroys things from the Agnya Chakra, from between the eyes. Right? And we saw when Brahma became angry, then that's where Shiva appeared from. Right? So that's the position, is that that's also the Agnya Chakra, it's also the knowledge chakra, it's also the chakra of the guru. So then that means that this anger and that can be controlled by, you know, the instruction of the guru. Like that. We follow the spiritual instructions, then it can be controlled. If not, then it's not going to happen. Yes.
You always speak about Ananda as Vishnu Tattva?
Yes. All this before. Only where manifestation is when he is the one that's below holding up Meru Mountain. Like that. But does he also, who's holding up all the planets? The same one, or that's the one with Garbhadaksha?
Oh, that's great. It's the same one holding
up. Okay.
Same one holding up.
Okay. So in other words, all them, they're being held up there by that one that basically can be a Shakti Vesha avatar. But they're counted as the Lord anyway. Just like Prithumaras, he's dealt with as the Lord, because it's empowered of that, just somebody's representing. So it the same principles apply.
And he's not becoming angry, just desires to destroy, then Rudra is
angry. He says slightly. He becomes slightly angry. So from that, then Rudra appears, and then Rudra does the work. You know, it's like I remember one day we were going with... We were going in the car. It was with Bhakti Trumarsh. And he has the driver. You know, we're in Calcutta. So then we're going across an intersection or something, and somebody comes and cuts us off. And, you know, it's not their time to go or anything, but they just saw there was a little space, even though it wasn't, they took advantage of it. You know, so Bhakti Trumarsh was a little annoyed. But he didn't have to do anything, because the driver, who was, you know, like one of these kind of like, middle-aged gentleman, you know, who is the, you know, but a driver. He leans out the window and lets fly with all the choicest language, you know, necessary for the situation. And then after we move on, and Bhakti Shurmar has made the comment, see, that's the advantage of having a driver. So you can say all the things you'd like to say that you don't need to. Right? You know, so in this way, he gets slightly angry, and then Rudra does the rest. You know, so.
In the verse coming up, it talks about anger and what it originates from and how he's restraining it.
Okay. Yes. Coming up. It's always how you say it. Forward questioning. Yes.
Always anticipating.
Yes, always like that. Srila Prabhupada adds, In each creation, the living entities are given a chance to close their business as conditioned souls. When they misuse this opportunity, do not go back home, back to Godhead, Lord Shankarshan becomes angry. Right? Because the whole universe is there for people to become God conscious. That's Krishna's desire. That's why they're there. That's why the creation takes place. So if they don't try to make that endeavor, then Ananta, who is servant of the Lord, Sankarshan is always a servant of Vasudeva, so he becomes angry. And so therefore then the universe gets destroyed. Right? You know, it'll be, and then again the chance will be given, and that. And if they don't, so then. Yeah? Well, I think when the anger starts, and yeah, if at that time you were already slightly thinking about it, you might become more serious, but if you weren't, you won't know what's going on.
But at least to know that it's happening.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes. No, for us then, yes. The whole point is this is Krishna's desires that the living entities come back to him. And so that is also the desire of Ananta. Right? So that's the... Sukadeva Goswami continued. The pink, transparent toenails on the Lord's lotus feet are exactly like valuable gems polished to a mirror finish. When the unalloyed devotees and the leaders of the snakes offer their obeisances to Lord Sankarsana with great devotion, they become very joyful upon seeing their own beautiful faces reflected in his toenails. Their cheeks are decorated with glittering earrings, and the beauty of their faces is extremely pleasing to see. Lord Ananta's arms are attractively long, beautifully decorated with bangles and completely spiritual. So here when it says arms are attractively long, it means long. That's what we always have to know, is that this is not a, you know, analogy or something like that. Saying that the man's arm is like snakes, that, you know, is an analogy. It's not that he's got snake arms or something. You know, that's a... You know, that, huh? Yes, not a metaphor like this. It actually means they go down to the knees, yes. Like that. So that's the point. So we have to know what is metaphor, what's not, like that. You know, yes?
Ananda Shashi is a snake, but it doesn't have to be in that body because
he's Sankarshan.
So we're talking here about Sankarshan?
We're talking about Sankarshan, we're talking about Ananta. You know, and in this verse, we're only going that far. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, then they'll talk about Balaram, about Nityananda. Yeah, it means it's the whole picture. And that's what we were saying, is that it doesn't like go, you know, Krishna, then Balaram, then Vasudeva, then you know, Mahasankarshan, like this and that. It's that he's going, he's dealing all of these. So that's why we can see is he's Sankarshan, right? And at the same time, he has that aspect, he expands as Rudra. So who else do we know that's Sankarshan, and that from him is expanding that aspect of Shiva? It means in this part of Advaitacharya means in Lord Chaitanya's Lila. That will be there. But where in just where we're talking about now? Mahavishnu. Yeah, because he's Sankarshan. So, but he has the mood of I'm the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. So the destroyer part, that's the Shiva part.
Should we be able to distinguish when we talk about whom?
It is, depending upon what's their meant. So here, because it's like, remember, Mahavishnu, then he's laying on the causal ocean. But when Krishna and Arjuna went to visit him, where is he? In a palace, and he comes out to greet them on the steps and brings them in, and there's servants, and there's all a whole scene going. So all these things are going on simultaneously. Right? So he is Ananta of Mahavishnu. He's also would be the Sadashiva aspect. He's also Mahavishnu. He's also then Ananta who's holding up all the universes. He is then within the universe when the Lord comes. Like that. He is with Kiradakshaya Vishnu. And he is also as that Sesha who's holding up all the planets. So depending upon which part they're talking about, then it'll be that particular position. That's what we're saying is somehow or another for Sankarsana, they move around, they jump around in the explanations. But when it's talking about Vasudeva, then generally it'll be a very logical sequence. So it seems to be just one of the attributes of Sankarsana. It has, you know, it moves in and out of all these different things because he is the one that's doing everything. So technically, if you get into it, you have Krishna in Braj. He expands as Balaram. Everything else happening is Balaram. Everything else. So that means he is Vasudev. He is Sankarsana. You know, so he is Krishna and Balaram and Dwarka. You understand? He is Mahavishnu. He is like that. You understand? So that's why it can move around like that. But the point is because it's a mood. Therefore, Sankarsana will have one mood like Balaram, and Vasudeva will have the mood like Krishna. So they will interact as Krishna and Balaram. Because Sankarsana, or Nityananda, Balaram is non-different from Krishna. The only difference is one's white and one's black. So therefore, all the moods are there. They just take that mood because then the pastime goes nicely. Like Sankarsana, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva, they're all the same person, but just the different four different flavors of moods, because those four, then it works very nicely. One of them could do all four, but it's so much nicer if he takes one mood and does one thing. You know, have we ever seen, it's like you have many things to do at once and you have to do all these and sometimes they get mixed up in the mood. So therefore, he just expands and does each one thing with one, but it's the same person. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, so like that. So that's why when we're discussing Sankarsana, sometimes you're talking about him as Ananta, sometimes you're talking about him as Sankarsana. You know, sometimes he's Mahavishnu, sometimes he's Sadashiva. You know, then he expands as Rudra. So in other words, it's all one basic category. And it has all these different aspects that they're all coming from. So...
Yes. So Prabhupada once asked Krishna Maharaj and Giriraj Maharaj, who's stronger, Krishna or Balaram? Giriraj
Maharaj.
Balaram. Because Krishna is resting on him. Balaram talking
about him. Okay. That's clever. Yeah. So here they're talking about him and his form as Sankarsana. So then he'll have the regular Vishnu Murti. Is that okay? So then he has feet, so therefore he has toenails and they're pink and they're very reflective. So in other words, if you go down to the pedicure place and get your toenails done, they'll never come out this good, no matter how hard you try. Because he's the Supreme Lord. So he's got the original mere finished toenails that everybody else tries to emulate, right?
This is the form of the Lord that speaks Bhagavatam to the fourth
Maharaj. Okay, so this is where their sampradaya starts. You also see us, who is it? There's, I think it's coming up, is it the cover of the next canto? Where they have Sankarsana there and then somebody is sitting in front and offering prayers? Oh, that's Chitraketu. He worships Sankarsana. Like that. So then that's that form. Yeah, very, very beautiful, but he's white. Yeah, that's why Vasudeva will be black, but Sankarsana will be that. Yeah, very white. Yeah, milk white. So, yeah. Like Balaram, yeah. So you have that aspect all the way through that it has that. So that's there. And Lord Ananta's arms are attractively long, beautifully decorated with bangles and completely spiritual. They are white, and so they appear like silver columns. When the beautiful princesses of the serpent kings, hoping for the Lord's auspicious blessings, smear his arms with agaru pulp, sandalwood pulp, and kumkuma, the touch of his limbs awakens lusty desires within them. Understanding their minds, the Lord looks at the princesses with a merciful smile, and they become bashful. realizing that he knows their desires. Then they smile beautifully and look upon the Lord's lotus face, which is beautified by reddish eyes, rolling slightly from intoxication and delighted by love for his devotees. Right? So here is that in this form, then he's interacting with the snakes and the snake princesses, because he's from that family. But he's taking this form. And so then, you know, is that? In his purport to verse 5, Srila Prabhupada comments. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented in this connection that the word Adi means Adi Rasa, the original lusty feeling, which is born from the Supreme. However, spiritual lust and material lust are as completely different as gold and iron. Only one who is very highly elevated in spiritual realization can understand the lusty feelings exchanged between Radha and Krishna, or between Krishna and the damsels of Braja. Therefore, unless one is very experienced and advanced in spiritual realization, he is forbidden to discuss the lusty feelings of Krishna and the gopis. However, if one is a sincere and pure devotee, the material lust in his heart is completely vanquished as he discusses the lusty feelings between the gopis and Krishna, and he makes quick progress in spiritual life. Right? So if one is sincere and has that to only please Krishna, that aspect of pure devotion, then the discussing the interaction between Krishna and the gopis will remove the lust from the heart, because the Bhagavatam mentions that. But if that's not there, that pureness, that there's some other motive for, then it will only increase the desire. Right? So that's why it's not recommended as a sadhana. Right? Like that. Sometimes I take it and use it as sadhana. No, but it says it goes, and anybody who hears, yeah, anybody who's sincere. Like that. But if there's a motive, I want to hear this because I like hearing this. You know, just that it makes me feel good, but it's not about Krishna and all that. Then you may have problems. If it's a matter of you're attracted, you like to hear, that's nice. But you should be attracted by other things also. Otherwise, if we're only attracted by that and not other pastimes, then that means that we're not on that platform of purity. Because the point is, it's Krishna. So he does all different things, and that's there. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like the child. Sometimes, you know, he's dressed, it's a formal situation. Sometimes he's playing out in the backyard. Sometimes he's taking a bath. Sometimes he's playing with friends. So does the mother make a distinction? No, it's just the child with different flavors. Right? You know, so if the mother only likes, I only like my child when he's sitting at home in their room doing his homework, like that, then there's some weakness there in the motherly affection. Right? Does that make sense? You know, unless, of course, they're British aristocracy and that's as good as it gets. Okay, yeah. Okay, yes.
It's interesting that in Puri, Mahaprabhu, he was engaged in three kinds of activities.
Yes.
And he was going regularly to the Jagannath Mandir, to the Sri Mandir.
Yes.
For the regular, you know, worship.
Right.
Then with Gadara, they were sitting and discussing Bhagavatam every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then at night, with Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, they were discussing, you know, the infinite pastimes.
Yeah. So
he was doing all three.
That's the point of Chaitanya, Vishrambar, and Gaura.
Right.
That's those three.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. No. That's the whole point. Is the taste is there and all that? Because why be here if you're not taking part in the Lord's past Sankirtan pastimes? Like that. Because the point is those from the pastimes there have come here. Otherwise, how do we know about it? Because basically in the Bhagavatam, we're not hearing about Krishna's pastime with the gopis in Goloka Vrindavan, we're hearing about him in Gokula Vrindavan. So that means they came here to take part in the pastimes. Why? So that we could be uplifted. So that's part of if we have affection for the Lord, then there's that aspect that we try to fulfill the Lord's desire by doing what we can in the preaching mission. That's what Shakyam is. Shakyam. Yeah, means friend of the Lord, means we understand his mood and therefore we're taking that, we're trying to help. Right? Because he comes here to preach, and as we saw in Priyat Bhagavatamrita, that all the Vaikuntha Vasis, they were all coming down here, thousands and thousands in a constant stream, not like one here, and oh hey, there's another one over there. No, it's just constant streams of them coming down. And it, so,
when you read the Krishna book, according to us, it's 18 to 18,
yes, yes. But they understand the conjugal relationship. That's just that Krishna's with the gopis and they're interacting, that everybody can appreciate. But to understand the actual nature of the conjugal relationship, what they're tasting, that until one is purified, that doesn't make any sense. Right? Because one will try to compare it with here. But it's not about here, because here it's about oneself. There it's about Krishna. So it's just a medium, just like cooking is a medium to express affection. So therefore the conjugal relation is also a medium. But it's about the other person. Right? Does that make sense? So just like in the material world, Prabhupada says, the closest that you have to this, to love, is the affection of the mother for the child. Right? And that's the mother for the child. That means there's one mother, there's that child, and then there's all, you know, other, you know, what is it? 6 billion, what do you call it? Six billion 599 million other people who have a different view. Right? So it's not the standard view. That's why I say it's like, because it still isn't completely. So it's just to give an indication that there is such a thing. Yes, the most selfless form. But there it's totally selfless. So that's the thing. Is that, so here it's not that the forms change. It's just who's the center changes. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, the forms of all the rasas still function in the same way. But generally, people are working on the secondary rasas, are not working on the primary.
So like you said, I'm just for example, told the story of the fellow who was listening to Radhakrishna pastimes and crying out of his conditioned nature when the name of Radha was being mentioned.
Yes.
And was asked about it afterwards because he had a donkey named Radha.
Really? Oh, and something happened to the donkey.
So yeah, it would remind you of the donkey.
Yes. Yeah. That's fine. Why would you name a donkey Rod? Oh well, I guess why not? It's supposed to be, it reminds you the other way.
Yes.
Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued, Lord Sankarsana is the ocean of unlimited spiritual qualities, and thus he is known as Anantadeva. He is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the welfare of all living entities within this material world, he resides in his abode, restraining his anger and intolerance. Verse 6, Srila Prabhupada comments. Anantadeva's main mission is to dissolve this material creation, but he checks his anger and intolerance. This material world is created to give the conditioned souls another chance. Didn't we just read this? No, we didn't. Another chance to go back home, back to Godhead. But most of them do not take advantage of this facility. After the creation, they again exercise their old propensity for lording it over the material world. These activities of the conditioned souls anger Anantadeva, and he desires to destroy the entire material world. Yet, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is kind towards us and checks his anger and intolerance. Only at certain times does he express his anger and destroy this material world. You know, so when it's the time for it, then he destroys. Otherwise, he's checking his anger. Right? Sukadeva Goswami continued. The demigods, the demons, the Uragas, serpentine demigods, the Siddhas, the Gandharvas, the Vidyadharas, and many highly elevated sages constantly offer prayers to the Lord. Because he is intoxicated, The Lord looks bewildered, and his eyes, appearing like flowers in full bloom, move to and fro. He pleases his personal associates, the heads of the demigods, by the sweet vibrations emanating from his mouth. Dressed in bluish garments and wearing a single earring, he holds a plow on his back with his two beautiful and well-constructed hands. Right, so we see here is this Sankarshan, right? But at the same time, as he has that element of Balaram. Right, so the plow is there, the one earring is there, the white color is there, the intoxicated look is there, but at the same time, such sweetness and niceness, you know. So it's all very, very unique. So that all comes all the way down. So this is just another worshiping Balaram in a formal situation. So it'd be more formal than Dwarka, you know, so like that. Yes. He has a single earring, yes. So Balaram does that. Right? That's for Balaram. We wear two. Huh? Yeah, they do like that. So the pirates picked it up from there, yeah. Yeah, no patch. He doesn't have that. It's not saying his one intoxicated eye rolling. His beautiful black patch. I'm not sure. I'm not sure which it is. Yeah, I'm not sure if it changes or that. I've heard said which earring it is. It's ear it is, but I'm not sure. Really don't know. Sorry? Uragas. They're the serpentine demigods. So that'll be the big snakes. You know, like Vasuki and these kind of personages. Or there may be some demigods that are shaped like snakes. So I'm not really sure, but they all seem to hang out together. So. Yes. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Nityananda is one earring. So just saying is that line, Balaram, his line. Then they are white and wear one earring. Part of it. So that mood, that flavor, right? Which ear? Check. I'm not sure. He holds a plow on his back with his two beautiful and well-constructed hands. Appearing as white as the heavenly king Indra, he wears a golden belt around his waist, and a Vaijayanti garland of ever-fresh tulsi blossoms around his neck. Bees, intoxicated by the honey-like fragrance of the tulsi flowers, hum very sweetly around the garland, which thus becomes more and more beautiful. In this way, the Lord enjoys his very magnanimous pastimes. If persons who are very serious about being liberated from material life hear the glories of Anantadeva from the mouth of a spiritual master in the chain of disciplic succession, and if they always meditate upon Sankarsana, the Lord enters the cores of their hearts, vanquishes all the dirty contamination of the material modes of nature, and cuts to pieces the hard knot within the heart, which has been tied tightly since time immemorial by the desire to dominate material nature through fruitive activities. Nard Muni, the son of Lord Brahma, always glorifies Anantadeva in his family's father's assembly. There he sings blissful verses of his own composition, accompanied by a stringed instrument or a celestial singer known as Tumburu. Because Tumburu is also a Gandharva that he's friendly with, but it also can mean his Veena, because it also has the tumbas like that. Because he plays that kind of Veena. 7-8. In his purport to verse 8, Srila Prabhupada comments, "The contamination in the heart of a conditioned soul is like a huge accumulation of garbage created by the three modes of material nature, especially the modes of rajas, passion, and tamas, ignorance." Right? So I guess that we have this huge accumulation of garbage within the heart, but we're trying to do the up-to-date thing and grow a garden there and try to... Yeah, that's what I said. Well, that's what Anantadeva gets upset about, is that when we get, then we recycle the garbage, and yes. This contamination becomes manifest in the form of lusty desires and greed for material possessions. So the lusty desires, we want something, but then the greed is that we have to have and we want more and more and more. So that's the problem. So there's lust, greed, anger, these are a problem. As confirmed herein, unless one receives transcendental knowledge in disciplic succession, there is no question of his becoming purified of this contamination. Right? One may have better quality garbage in the, how you say, in the local tip of the heart. You know? But the point is it will be garbage. That's the problem, yes.
In this case, the garbage is some scars.
Yes. Just the attachment to passion and ignorance, and just all from our previous activities. So we can get rid of the reactions by improving the quality. You know, so in other words, we just have old, funky furniture in our garbage dump instead of, you know, all kinds of things that smell bad. But the point is it's still garbage. That's the, so we can improve the quality of the schlock house, but it's still a schlock house. Yes. And neither and neither. Which one is the British? That's funny. Okay. Neither. Okay. Yeah. Because sometimes I say neither, sometimes I say neither.
Not this moment.
Yes. Yeah.
Either or, even or.
Yes. Yes. House heist. One house, one mouse, two mice, one house, two heists. No? Yeah, that's the logic, right? Yes, yes. So that would be one elephant, two elephi. Whatever. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued, by his glance, the Supreme Personality of Godhead enables the modes of material nature to act as the causes of universal creation, maintenance, and destruction. Right? So the laws of nature carry these out. So on a daily basis, something's being created, something's being maintained, something is being destroyed. Right? So they're all going on at once. Does that make sense? So that's it. Something's being created. It has to be transforming from what it was. That means there's destruction of the previous form. Well, it's transforming into the new form. So we see is that, but at the same time, as you're maintaining the form that you have now so that it can move and transform into the next. So all three modes are working at once. So the material world, therefore, this is all going on. So then he allows that to happen. He enables it. It's his power, potency that makes it happen. The Supreme Soul is unlimited and beginningless. And although he is one, he has manifested himself in many forms. How can human society understand the ways of the Supreme? So therefore you don't have to feel bad if it doesn't make sense. Footnote 37. In his Bhagavat Sandarbha Anucheda 31, Srila Jiva Goswami refers this verse as well as the next verse and the first verse of this chapter to prove his statement. The Lord, having a transcendental body, even in the material world, still remains when all matter is withdrawn into Mahavishnu. Lord Mahavishnu is therefore not material. Okay. So when he's in the material world and everything becomes removed,
he's
practicing the mudra.
That's only seven of them. You can imagine if the whole school was doing that. So now you know what they do when you know, during the day. No, because they can't explain it. For us, it can be explained, but maybe we can't explain it. But they have no system to explain it. But maybe we can't explain it, but, you know, Krishna can explain it. Like that. But for the Maya bodies, no one can explain it. Because Brahmans, you know, doesn't talk, so, how do you say? Brahman may know, but he, you know, it's not talking, right? So that's the thing, is that they use it as an escape. We use it that it's beyond our intelligence. So when they come into thing that's beyond their intelligence, they're saying that so they don't look like idiots. We're saying it, you know, in submission to the Lord, that he's beyond our understanding. And because of that, therefore we can understand. So it's just that these different things are happening at once. Right? So since he has a transcendental body, when everything goes back into Mahavishnu, he still remains. Like that. The worlds disappear, but he's still there. You know, as Mahavishnu's there, everything's happening, creation, maintenance, and destruction is happening at 3/4 of a second of Mahavishnu. When Krishna and Arjuna go to visit Mahavishnu, they're there more than 3/4 of a second. It's not that every 3/4 of a second, excuse me one moment. Okay, yes, you're, yes, and so then, you know, he doesn't have to do that.
Take a breath.
Yeah. You know, or as you're talking to him, you hear this, all these, you know, like that, and you say, oh my God, you know, okay. We'll come back later. And then you're sitting there wondering, what happens if he sneezes? You know, so, you know, that's the whole thing, is that all these things are going on at once. So that means if Vishnu's there, Sankarshan is there also. You know, so all these different things, they're doing, Krishna and Balaram are everything. So that means they have to be creator, they have to be maintained, they have to be destroyed. So therefore, the aspect of Sankarshan, he does that aspect of the creation and maintenance. I mean, creation and destruction. And then Vasudeva does the aspect of maintenance. Does that make sense? So we see is on this level, it's destroyed on that level of Shiva, and it's you know, created and that by his wife. So that's that same, you know, that energy and all that. So that's where then he's doing it. Right? But we see with Mahavishnu, then he's doing it, but it's a transformation of Ramadevi. So who's going to transform? Because Lakshmi doesn't transform. Right? We'll see, Neela will transform. Right? Because she deals with Leela. So is the Leela transcendental or is the Leela material? Does that make sense? Yes? No? Yeah, I'm not sure. Today is something very unique. Normally they're not this loud, but I guess. Boys. Huh? Oh, I see. So it's not running the regular schedule then. Ah, now I get it.
Not running on Mars at the moment,
huh?
Today's Tuesday.
Okay. Mars, okay. So they're showing their prowess then. Okay. You just heard up the transformation. And Neela. So Neela is Leela, also known as Leela. So that's where your transformation will take place. Right? So if it's transcendental, then you're dealing with Yoga Maya. If it's material, you'll be dealing with Mahamaya. You understand? So then you have that aspect. So Sankarsana, then he'll have that aspect, that connection with, that will be his consort. Means, because, how do you say, Krishna with the Icha Shakti is taking, then that's Radharani, that little be Shri. Then Balaram is taking care of the Kriya Shakti, right? So that'll be the aspect of Bhu, right? And then Vasudeva is taking care of the aspect of, you know, the existence and these things, so that will be Nila, right? So he's the one who's expanding down. But his point is Balaram is dealing with both of those. In other words, he expands to take care of that. So in other words, Krishna expands and stays in that position so that he can function. Balaram expands and then he knows both of them. Right? Unless he's in Braj Leela, then he'll just let Yogamaya take care. You know, but in Braj you don't really see that aspect, that third aspect so much. Right? You don't hear about him. Sometimes, you know, you hear about Shiva and this and that, but you don't hear so much. Right? So, does that make sense? But when you get, you know, so then they'll let that go. But here, so you get down to that third, and but at the same time, all of them are there. So he'll have his aspects as Vasudeva, as Sankarshan, as Prajumna, as Adiruddha, because he's the one that creates the attraction in the heart. Right? So he's saying Ananta is doing. So in that form, then that aspect of Prajumna is being, that's exactly where it comes. So when we say Prajumna, then he's creating the attraction between things, but and our hearts, that's coming from that aspect from Ananta. Yes, sir. No, she would be the source of Nila. You know, I'm just saying, because we just use that, because then when you get into Vaikuntha, it's very straightforward, so they can relate there. But actually, then, no, that would be. Yes. But Lalita will be Bhu, and Vishaka will be Nila. That will be how the lines. But then that'll come down, and you have these other forms, because they're the ones that are dealing in that mainly the Icha. Then you see as Yogamaya is then making the arrangements. So you have the aspect of the Kriya and the Jnana Shakti is taking care of all the things so that they can function in there. So she's expanding. Does that make sense?
I don't
know if
you would explain to me once about the eight directions.
Yes.
Does that mean each of the directions has some flavor that it takes originally all the way back?
Yes. Everything will originally go back. It just takes on the general flavor will be. So when you have it in Braj, the yogi peak there, that'll have one general flavor, and then you have the specifics of the direction. You take that yogi peak down to Dwarka, then the general flavor will slightly be different. But, you know, the positions will have the same, it will be the same, but it will be that adjusted, expanded form. Then you take it down to Vaikuntha, then again it will.
It'll be in essence there, but with a changing mood.
Yes, like that. And so then when you bring it down to here, then you have the demigods. So you have Indra and Varuna like this. It'll still have those same original flavors. Like that. From there, but it'll have the specifics of the place here. That's why if you know the system, then you can know the whole thing. So especially if you know the top, you know Vrindavan, then all the other ones you can understand. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's where it's going. Because this is actually what's going on. The whole thing is the Vastu science, or there's the different things like that, or the astrology. And so then there's all the things and all the math and mechanics and all that means the person has totally missed the point. There's a mood, there's a flavor. And there's mechanics to accomplish that. You know, it's just like the cook. The cook has a mood, and they have a desire to cook. Then there's the technique of cooking. But if all we do is study the technique of cooking and don't know the person, then we don't really understand what's happening. You know, we'll understand cooking, yes, but we don't understand why someone would cook or what they would. Why would they cook this at this time and that at that time? So then we'll try to make mathematical calculations. So, you know, this was at this, and they ate at 7:07, and they ate this menu. But then on the, you know, 3 days ago at 7:02, they had this menu. It was very, very different. So then that 5 minutes difference, and that does, and then they'll try to do work out all the menus by how many minutes apart they are, and then therefore what are the minutes doing, and what's got, you understand? Yeah, so that's what modern science does. that's what speculation does, but in actuality, it's the person, who they're cooking for, what's the occasion, what's happened in their life and in others' lives and everything like that.
Trying to please.
Yeah, because otherwise, like today, you know, then you have, it's Tuesday, it's a class day, but then there's a different schedule. Why there's a different schedule? Because we're dealing with people.
Yes.
Right? Like that. So that's why there's a difference. So unless you understand the personal, you don't actually understand it at all. That's why sometimes one may get frustrated. Well, Bhagavatam's not giving enough detail here. You know, it's talking about the creation or the difference, not giving enough detail. You know, why is it always talking about all these people and what they do and what they think and feel?
They're getting in the way.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, why can't we get down to the real? But no, it's that those are doing this because of that, therefore there's the creation. You know, that's the whole thing. So that's what you want to do. No. No. Yeah, so depending, and they all take these different positions, so because of that, then there's all these differences. You know, so you get all these, like the yoga people, they set it up. Generally, when you do puja, you set it up that you have Radha and Krishna, and then to the east will be Lalita. Then it'll go Vishakha and all that around. So that puts her as sun. But in some of them, then they'll come out and she'll start in the north. So then you have Lalita in the north, and then Vishakha in the northeast. You know, so that lines that up with that aspect of that's where the whole thing of Shiva and everybody expands from there. But at the same time, you also have where you have Radha and Krishna, and then Lalita will be in the south, and Vishakha will be in the north. Because if they're standing, that's the directions they'll stand. Right? So then Lalita establishes the situation, and Vishakha arranges the paraphernalia. Right? Because you have south, you have Dharma, and north you have Kubera. Right? Wealth. You understand? So that's the thing, is you're starting with they're everything. So that's why it seems contradictory. But depending on what you're dealing with, then there's the lineup. So if you're looking at this particular situation, if you understand its formula, then you go back and you can see that. But if we try to use a different arrangement in this situation, it won't quite work. You know what I'm saying? He's doing what he wants in the kitchen. But if we go into the bedroom, he's doing what he wants. So he's putting on these shoes or that coat or this. We won't be able to necessarily relate them because we're trying to, well, what does these shoes got to do with the pots and pans? Because the shoes are on the ground and then the pots are up. So does that mean that the shirts and the pants, they're more like the pots and all that? And the garbage can, and that's on the floor. So that's connected. You understand? Then that's where it gets the problem. So that's the thing, is as we go, what we're doing is learning more and more how these things expand. You know, the various ways they can be expanded. In other words, he just figured out we were here. So when he went by, you... Huh? Yes. No, it's just that he. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, does that work? Why that sometimes you have one description and one situation, and then the next sentence you have a different one, and so it's just using different scenarios to describe, because he's unlimited, so it's just they're describing all these different situations, but it's the same person. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. As long as the Lord does not glance at Prakriti, I seem to be missing A. He always leaves out the A. I just noticed that. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he leaves off the A. But you see a Srila Prabhupada comment, Srila Vishwanath Natha, because that's the actual Sanskrit. It's with A. It means that the North Indian Bengalis many times will pronounce without. But the Sanskrit is with an A. It's always. It should have an A, even though we say Vishwanath. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's standard like that, but it's just. As long as the Lord does not glance at Prakriti, the gunas are not capable of producing Mahatattva and other elements. His form is eternal, Dhruvam, because it is spiritual, not manufactured, Akritam. However, though he is one, he holds and nourishes many products of Prakriti in the hair pores of his body, Atmani. Who knows the truth, Vartma, about him or the method to attain him? Right? So in other words, he's so far beyond. So we don't know. It's only what we hear, what is heard from him by his great devotees and passed down, that's how we know. Right? So here it is. He glances at Prakriti, then she's able to perform all these different things. So all this starts manifesting from that. But it's his glance. So that's why we say he is the creator. Because he's able to, he puts his energy and maintains that. Therefore, then all these transformations can happen. But technically, on the ground, she's doing the work. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like the manager, he's there. So it's a nice arrangement, and you're talking, you tell the manager, oh, very nice, you've done a very good job. But technically, he just sat there and told people what to do. But by his potency, they're all able to do it. Does that make sense? So that's why sometimes you see Maya is the creator, or Lakshmi is the creator, right? Or Brahma is the creator, right? Does that make sense? But it's actually the Lord. He is, his potency is doing it. Yes, that's rasa. In tattva, he's doing because she is his energy, and then he puts himself under his energy. But in rasa, you don't look at the tattva aspect. So then, yeah. Yes. 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 Like that. So that's the point of tattva. That's what we're mentioning. Tattva is the husband says one word, the wife is busy all day. Rasa is she gives one glance, he is busy all day.
He's busy all life.
I didn't want to scare anybody. Yeah, I was you know, it was that, I don't know, you can feel that I said it, and it's that I didn't want to say it, but yeah, yeah.
Light variation.
Yes. Current seemed to have gone. Oh well. Not so bad. Yes. Does that make sense? So depending on what is there, it's going. So then all these things are happening. So yes, he's the creator. He does so through his energies, and the energies do. So the energies are doing, but to please him. So that's why Lakshmi Tantra will describe how she is practically creating everything. Right? But she's doing that on his behalf. She is the energy by which he creates everything. But she just explains what she does. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada provides more glorification of Anantadev, which echo this chapter. The following quotations from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adikanda 1:48-52 and 1:58-69, tell of the glories of Lord Anantadev. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Sanatana, Sananda, and Sanat Kumar. Oh no, Sanaka, excuse me. Vyasadev, Sukadev Goswami, and Narada are all pure devotees, eternal servants of the Lord. Lord Sri Ananta is worshipped by all the uncontaminated devotees mentioned above. He has thousands of hoods and is the reservoir of all devotional service. Lord Ananta is the original person and the great mystic controller. At the same time, he is a servant of God, a Vaishnava. Since there is no end to his glories, no one can understand him fully. So that's why it's unique, because Krishna is the Supreme Lord. While Balaram Ananta is the Supreme Lord and a devotee. Right? So Radharani is the energy and a devotee. Where Jivas, there was energy and devotees. But he's the Supreme Lord and devotee. That's why he's so hard to understand. But Krishna's harder to understand because we can relate to servant, that he's beyond. If we could so relate to being the master, we'd be doing a better job of it. Right? But we're not doing such a good job, so we really don't understand what it is. Now, since there is no end to his glories, no one can understand him fully, right? So we can get an idea like that. I have already spoken to you of his service to the Lord. Now hear how the self-sufficient Anantadeva exists in the lower planetary system of Patala. Bearing his stringed instrument, the tumbaro, on his shoulders, the great sage Narad Muni, right, so here it's about the stringed instrument, tumbaro, but sometimes it's talking about him being with tumbaro. That's why I said before it could be either. Because, in Brahma's court where he's glorifying, sometimes it means it's with the Veena and sometimes with the other person. Veena will always be there, but there's also Tumbaru, the Gandharva is there. The great sage Narad Muni always glorifies Lord Ananta. Narad Muni has composed many transcendental verses in praise of the Lord. Simply due to the glance of Lord Ananta, the three material modes of nature interact and produce creation, maintenance, and annihilation. These modes of nature appear again and again. The Lord is glorified as one without a second, and as the supreme truth who has no beginning. Therefore, he's called Anantadev, unlimited. Right? So unlimited glories, right? He has no beginning, so he's unlimited. Who can understand him? His form is completely spiritual, and he manifests it only by his mercy. All the activities, so he doesn't have to manifest, but he does just as mercy for the devotees. All the activities in this material world are conducted only in his form. He is very powerful and always prepared to please his personal associates and devotees. So activities are conducted only in his form. So that means he is the universal form. He is whatever's going on. He is the potency behind everything. Right? Because it's Sankarshan is expanded as everything. He is the substance of everything. Right? Same time as he's the attractiveness, the why we're attracted. Does that make sense? Yeah. So there is the activity itself, he is the result. So that means again, he is everything. If we simply try to engage in the congregational chanting the glories of Lord Anantadev, the dirty things in our hearts, accumulated during many births, will immediately be washed away. Therefore, a Vaishnava never loses an opportunity to glorify Anantadev. Lord Anantadev is known as Sesha, the unlimited end, because he ends our passage through this material world. Because he can remove the false ego, and therefore remove the material. Simply by chanting his glories, everyone can be liberated. On his head, Anantadev sustains the entire universe with its millions of planets containing enormous oceans and mountains. He is so large and powerful that this universe rests on one of his hoods just like a drop of water. So inside, you see, sustains the entire universe with the millions of planets containing enormous oceans, and he's doing that. At the same time, then this universe rests on one of his hoods. He does not know where it is. While bearing this universe on one of his hoods, Anantadev chants the glories of Krishna with each of his thousands of mouths. Although he has been chanting the glories of Lord Krishna since time immemorial, he still has not come to their end. To this very day, Lord Ananta continues to chant the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and still he finds no end to them. Right, so just Lord Chaitanya, he can chant like this. Then there's every other incarnation. So you can see there's no end like that. just taking one feature of the Lord, then he can go on unlimitedly like that. Sukadev Goswami continued, this manifestation of subtle and gross matter exists within the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Out of causeless mercy towards his devotees, he exhibits various forms, which are all transcendental. The Supreme Lord, so that's it, he exhibits various forms. Right? So that's the... So, yeah. The Supreme Lord is most liberal, and he possesses all mystic power. To conquer the minds of his devotees and give pleasure to their hearts, he appears in different incarnations and manifests many pastimes. Verse 10. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Narada praises the Lord appearing in avatar forms like Rama and Krishna. Is his form material? No, it is pure sattva. In this spiritual form resides the universe of sat and asat. This was shown to Jashoda. Within that form, like a lion, he performed impeccable anavadyam pastimes. Uddhava said, Kaumarim darshayam cheshtam prekshaniyam vrajau prekshaniyam vrajau kas. We're missing something. Yeah. Prekshaniyam. Oh no, prekshani. The M and the V become longer. You get a double M there. No, yeah, prekshani yam vrajakaush. Vrajakaush. No, it's still short. Vrajaukas. Okay. Rudan niva hasan mugdha. Yeah, because it doesn't double because there's a long vowel there. Bala Simha Valokan. Showing his attractive infant pastimes to the people of Braja, he would pretend to weep to get what he wanted and laugh when he got those things. When demons attacked, he appeared like a young lion, showing his bravery in spite of his fear. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.28. Why did he perform pastimes? He who has heroic deeds, such as lifting Govardhan, Udara Lila, did it to capture the minds of his devotees, which are like elephants. Right. You know, so they're elephants, you know, waiting around in the nectar of that, but he captures them, even though they're so big and powerful.
The lion defeats the elephants.
Yes, the lion defeats the elephants. Okay. Yes, yeah, so you see here is that he showed the mother Jashoda everything is within, the sat and the asat. Right, to Arjuna, he showed the universal form outside, but mother. So that was just what was inside here. But we see is that what he showed Mother Jashoda was the whole cosmos. Right, Arjuna only saw the material manifestation, but she saw the whole cosmos. So the material manifestation and the spiritual. So much bigger. So of all the forms of the universal form that he manifests, that was the biggest. Right, then I think Arjuna's, and then there's I think three others. So one of them was what he showed to Duryodhana, yeah. When he tried to capture him. But, and then two more I'm not sure. Sukadeva Goswami continued, even if he be distressed or degraded, any person who chants the holy name of the Lord, having heard it from a bona fide spiritual master, is immediately purified. Even if he chants the Lord's name jokingly or by chance, he and anyone who hears him are freed from all sins. Right? So if you have a bunch of ruffians there, the devotee walks down the street, and one of them in the crowd over there goes, Hare Krishna. Then he and that whole group around him, they all become purified. Right? Not bad. Right? Therefore, how can anyone seeking disentanglement from the material clutches avoid chanting the name of Lord Sesha? Of whom else should one take shelter? So these are the rhetorical questions that they talked about, right? Of whom else should one take shelter? Because the Lord is unlimited, no one can estimate his power. This entire universe, filled with his many great mountains, rivers, oceans, trees, and living entities, is resting just like an atom on one of his many thousands of hoods. Is there anyone, even with thousands of tongues, who can describe his glories? There is no end to the great and glorious qualities of that powerful Lord Ananta Dev. Indeed, his prowess is unlimited. Though self-sufficient, he himself is the support of everything. He resides beneath the lower planetary systems and easily sustains the entire universe. My dear King, as I heard of it from my spiritual master, I have fully described to you the creation of this material world according to the fruit of activities and desires of the conditioned souls. So interesting here is that now he's saying, I've explained the whole creation. So now, when he starts the creation, who does he start with? No. But when he starts in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, who does he start with? Vasudeva, Mahavishnu.
Yes.
And now this is the last of the end of the description. So who is it? Ananta, Sesha. Right? So therefore you can say he is the beginning, he is the middle, he is the end. Right? Right, so he is the beginning, the creator. He is the creation itself. That means, and then he is Ananta, is sustaining it and also destroying like this. So that's the interesting thing. So he starts off with, I'll start off with Mahavishnu and his glance, and then they'll end with Ananta Dev. So then that's the complete description of creation. Right, because then you have all the planetary systems, all the Prajapatis, all the Manus, all the different things that are going on, how everybody's placed according to their mentalities, because that's what the whole universe is about, trying to switch the mundane mentality to the spiritual. Right? And so in the beginning, then Mahavishnu then expands, he breathes out his glance, in hope that the living entities will take up the devotional process, and then at the end we have Ananta Dev, who has been controlling his anger and intolerance, and then at one point,
that's it.
Those conditioned souls who are full of material desires achieve various situations in different planetary systems, and in this way they live within this material creation. So that you can say is that's the. I have fully described to you the creation of this material world according to the fruit of activities and desires of the conditioned souls, right? In the environment of which is Lord Krishna's desire that they all come back to him. So then, therefore, those conditioned souls who are full of material desires achieve various situations in different planetary systems, and in this way they live within this material creation. So according to their desire, they get all the different positions within the material world. That's what the creation is about. So he says, I've described to you the whole creation. So he sums it up in that's what it's about. That's the real thing. So if you want to understand the different planetary systems, you have to understand the desires they have. Right? The devatas are where they are because they want material facility, but they're willing to recognize the Lord. The demons, they want the material facility. They're not willing to recognize the Lord. So therefore, then there's the two parts of the universe. Yes.
Does it indicate that of all forms of the Lord, we are trying to imitate Krishna, the Lord of the ecosystem?
Basically. Like that. Krishna but Vishnu, like that. We're trying to be Supreme Lord where everybody else is our servant. Right?
Based on the desire.
Yes. Because the idea is that, okay, you have brothers and sisters, they should be serving you. You have parents, they should be serving you. You have children, they should be serving you. You have community, they should be serving you. You know what I'm saying? The nation, the world, the universe, the law of attraction. You just put it out there and the universe will reciprocate. It's all about us. Yes, all perfectly aligned concentric circles. Yeah, because they think they're the center. That's where the problem comes in, because they don't cooperate. Yeah. In his purport to verse 14, Srila Prabhupada elaborates. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Anadi karma phale, padi bhavarnava jale, tari bhare na dekhi upai. My Lord, I do not know when I commenced my material life, but I can certainly experience that I have fallen in the deep ocean of nescience. Right? So Anadi karma, I can't understand that, right? Because it is before, right? Now I can also see that there is no other way to get out of it than to take shelter of your lotus feet. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offers the following prayer. Ayi nandana tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavam burao kripaya tavapada pankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. Chaitanya Charitamrita Ananta Lila 20.32 Shikshastakam 5. My dear Lord, son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servant. Somehow or other I have fallen into this ocean of nescience. Kindly therefore save me from this horrible condition of materialistic life. So this is the essence of why there's creation and why it's being described. So we come to the point of understanding that everything is by desire, and so therefore, and we're here by desire, so that means we can go back to Godhead by desire. That's the whole point. So everything up to now, all the explanation has been actually for this point. Right? So then that was the point of the invocation, actually, was that it's all about telling the difference between what's matter and spirit. So if we have any other idea of the material world other than it's here simply for us to become God conscious, that's what has to be seen and removed. Right? So that's the point, is if it's connected to the Lord, it doesn't matter what it is. But if it's not connected to the Lord, it also doesn't matter what it is. It's still all useless.
Yes. Sometimes devotees get caught up trying to find a different reason why they're in the material world other than their desire.
Because they don't want to be, can't be at fault. That's why people like it, I fell from Brahman. Because, I was already in Brahman. I manifested from, Brahman, or I manifested from Manavishnu. What do you want? I'm already here. Give me a break.
Will that result in less or a weakening of desire to go back to Godhead?
Yes, because otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah.
Other than I'm okay, so therefore you should be okay with that. Not I'm okay, you're okay. I'm okay, you should be okay with I'm okay. That's the full.
And I'm not okay, but you're not okay with it.
Yes. That would be hard to get on the cover of the book, right? So, yes, that's that. So this is what we're trying to get. So if that is there, then you see is that that's the point. The whole of that fifth verse is explaining all that. So the previous then we saw is it was explaining the... was explaining that aspect of how everything can be connected to the Lord. I don't have any interest in it. Right? And then here's the point of I'm a servant. Sukadeva Goswami concluded, "My dear King, I have thus described how people generally act according to their different desires and, as a result, get different types of bodies in higher or lower planets. You inquire these things from me, and I have explained it to you, whatever I have heard from authorities. What shall I speak of now?" Srila Vijayadvaj Tirthacharya elaborates, "These are the courses of places which are attainable through sakama karma. The place attainable by nishkama karma is a different one, which has not been stated. The place attainable by forbidden acts, nishiddha karma, is also not stated yet. It means these courses are high and low, not resembling one another. By stating this is what has been described, Srila Sukadeva Goswami implies that there are many other things to be known which have not been stated. So tell me, what should I narrate further, is the question put by Maharaj Purkit, right? Rather than just say, and I've discussed everything, so, that's it, so, okay, so let's, how you say it? Yeah, like that. That's good. That was trying to think of, now it's time for cheese and crackers or something.
He's fasting.
Oh, he's fasting, that's right. Yeah. That'd be tough. Sorry?
They will have it after he leaves.
Oh, exactly.
He's fasting, but we don't have
to. Yeah, we don't have to. Trying to bite very carefully, but it doesn't make any noise. Yes. Okay, so he's indicating here that there's more to describe, because he's described what's their sakam karma. But he hasn't described up to now how to get out of the universe. By the areas, how do people get to Mahakalapura, in that state? How do they get? And he hasn't described the hellish regions yet. He simply described people have done sakam karma. In other words, everything up to now is, it means you indicate here and there, but it's all been about people who have done proper work according to the Veda, and then what results they've gotten. Now the devotees have done that connected to the Lord. They've gone back to Godhead. But within the material creation, it's all put everybody within the material world. So they're here, then they take, say Maharaj is there, then a deer, then a brahmana, right? And then others are, you know, what they do, they end up in different places in the universe, right? You understand what he's saying? So he's brought out an interesting point, because he hasn't talked about what's lower than this or what's higher than this. Like that. You know, so we haven't even really talked about Satyaloka and those places or beyond.
Mahajana talks about Satya mostly is Nishkam?
You have to be Nishkam to get there.
Completely? I mean, all the people there.
Yes. It means there may be a sense of performance of duty is very important to you, but it's Nishkam. There, that will be your Prajapatis. You know, that's why they're on Mahar. But, you know, Janatapa, you know, then the yogis, the renunciates. Then you have Satya, then, which is...
So, for 100 lifetimes performing the activities...
Yes.
It'd be difficult to do that sakam?
It would be difficult, because then you would expect... But why would you get Brahma? Mm-hmm. Right? So there has to be that element of Nishkam, because he has to be able to perform it without desire. Right? But because it says Nishkam here, in this case, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's about Krishna. Right? So therefore, that's how he can be a Brahma without being a devotee. Right? So if you do it as a devotee, then there's a good chance, you know, you'll go back to Godhead if you do it.
So far I've really just dealt with Mubu thus far.
Yes. But we haven't dealt with the lower aspects of the, you know, the Antariksha, or the higher aspects of Swarga. You know, or what's even beyond that. I mean, we've done primary coming in, but so that's what he's pointing at. So that's a very interesting observation. Okay, important verse. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam 5:25-11. Yannama shrutam anukir tayed akasmad arto va yadi patita pralam bhanad va hantyam ha sapadi nirinam asesha anyam kam aseshad bhagavata ashrayen mumukshuhu. Even if he be distressed or degraded, any person who chants the holy name of the Lord, having heard it from a bona fide spiritual master, is immediately purified. Even if he chants the Lord's name jokingly or by chance, he and anyone who hears him are freed from all sins. Therefore, how can anyone seeking disentanglement from the material clutches avoid chanting the name of Lord Sesha? Of whom else should one take shelter? Like that, Haridas Thakur is always making this point. This is a very major point. Okay. So we see again, it's all about the material worlds for getting out. And so we take shelter of the Lord, then that happens. So chapter 26, so this is the last one in the... in here. So that is 38, 24, so 14. Okay. A description of the hellish planets. Okay. So now we're hearing outside of that. Okay. Pratigya. The conditioned souls who have come to this mature world for sense gratification are allowed to enjoy their senses under certain regulated principles. If they violate these regulations, they are judged and punished by Yamaraj. 38. In this chapter summary, Srila Prabhupada comments, the foolish person thinks he is independent of any law. He thinks there's no God or regulator principle, and that he can do whatever he likes. Thus, he engages in different sinful activities, and as a result, he is put into different hellish conditions life after life to be punished by the laws of nature. The basic principle of his suffering is that he foolishly thinks himself independent. although he is strictly under the control of the laws of material nature, right? So it's due to this foolishness, right, that we think there's no God or regulative principle. So you know what I'm saying? So from the Western point of view, then we may be ignorant of that and do all kinds of nonsense, right? From the devotional point of view, then we will understand and we will try our best to avoid. We'll accept the Lord and accept His regulation. Does that make sense? So within the Vedic system, you don't have something to authorize not following the Lord's rules to elevate yourself. In the Vedic system, you'll follow the Lord's rules, though you might follow Him for karma or jnana or for bhakti. Right? But since we have heard bhakti is the actual proper platform, therefore we give up the idea of karma and jnana. Right? But in the modern, then they're going to take up trying to enjoy without that they are the ones. It's the people themselves, they establish what's right. Right? Means that's the advantage of deism, right? Which is very popular in the time of enlightenment, right? In that point of the age of enlightenment, late 1700s, like that. Deism was very big because God's created it, and He is the supreme, and He's of course is there, but He's not actually running the world. It's up to us, man, to do the best with it. God's given it to us, now we should do something with it. So they deify Him, that he's separated from it. So how it works is up to us. So that leaves it open that now you can do what you like. Right? And of course, they being religious and being gentlemen, then they'll try to do their best, you know, as you know, what an upstanding Christian gentleman would do. But then the problem comes is that as time goes, by following this path where God's not connected to it, it's not His control, then the laws that make up are become farther and farther away. You know what I'm saying? You know, so something that in the Bible says that, you know, if you're into that, then you should be, you know, either driven away or stoned to death. Then, you know, nowadays the Supreme Court then just passed a law that it's not up to each individual state to make their law. This is the law for the whole land. Right? When normally it's each state makes its law because the people, local people, they have a mood and they make the laws. So they override. So you know what I'm saying? So it's completely gone away from the roots based in religion and based in God. Does that make sense? So that's the problem with this. So how do you make that sound good? Who overrules the laws? One is the people who make the laws and all that, but where do they get the ideas from? Where do administrators get the ideas from? Sometimes. But generally they get it from some intellectual. Like Marx has an idea, you know, some guy who's not so successful, and then some administrators take it up. Some other Brahmins who then can relate, then they take it, and then the administrators carry on from there. So you get, it comes like that. So that means the intellectuals come up with these ideas of how God's not God and there's no laws. So we have to be very, very careful, therefore, of this proclivity to use modern intellectual thought to establish that we don't have to follow the laws given by God. And then point out that, yes, we don't have to follow all that, you know. And then if somebody doubts that, then we throw in a little actual flaw, and we're not this body, but the two don't really have anything to do with each other. Right? You can't say we're Westerners and we're not this body in the same you know, lifetime. Right, you know, like that. They don't go together.
But I'm not just a Westerner.
Yes. So therefore, body is modifying Western.
That's the, quite a logic, I think.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. So that's the thing is that because devotees before wouldn't ever doubt this. They may have material attachment and they'd be in Maya and people will criticize and they'll feel bad, but they know it's wrong. But now we're using the modern way of modern intellectual thinking. Now we can say, no, it's fine, it's great. What's wrong with it? You know, it's, you know. So in other words, not knowing it, they're using intellectual to actually take up the path, you know, what do you call it? Sahajian Buddhism, which means there's no authority, there's no scriptures, there's no rules, it's just, you know, your meditation, your thoughts about Buddha, that's it. No structure, no anything. So, you know, so now we know the specific kind of, you know, how you say, nirvishesh, right?
Yes. Somehow nowadays, everybody's proud about their own conditions. It doesn't
yes.
matter what it is, it's just, you know, we're proud.
Yeah. You know, so then it becomes a problem. So it has to be removed. It doesn't mean we don't use it, like Prabhupada said, that if we don't do something big here in Mayapur, what's the point of being Westerners, you know, who do everything big? But if we identify with it, then it's not. No, we have a conditioning, so that means the conditioning to do big stuff. But if we identify with it, then it's a problem.
If it's a mess, it's big.
If it's a mess, it's big, yeah. You do everything big.
So we're not following the violent rules is nasty.
It's atheistic. We generally just say it's not proper, it's not pious, or this or that, but if push comes to shove, then we will say it is atheistic. So this modern world, its stature or its ideals is based on atheistic moralism. Moralism that's not coming from God or from the Shastras, but just that at the moment people say is popular. And they think it's so right, but 10 years ago people would say different. And 10 years from now they'll say different. So that's the thing, they're so proud of what my conditioning is today. You know, that's authority. But it's unstable. You can't create anything solid. Everything depends upon stability. Families, you know, communities, nations, everything depend upon stability. So you can't use this and create a stability. It has to be based on something long term. So that's why the Shastra is the best. Yeah, and none of them work except for what's based on Shastra. That's why you see is that India, you know, doesn't have means, but you know, many are very comfortable with basing it on the ancient principles. Same in China, and so that's accepted by the what do you call it social anthropologists or you know whatever they call themselves these days. That the two oldest cultures in the world are India and China. Because they still relate to that. While every place else, every place that considers themselves the modern places, their cultures change every so many years. Whatever they were before, it's not there anymore. You know, so that's the problem. It's always changing. So that and then we're going to say is we're going to give up something that's stable and eternal for something that's, you know, always changing, you know. So
is that the nature of tribals to be always in a state of change?
It would, because they're not based on the
norms.
Yeah, like that. But you do see some, they've been what they are for a long time, and only when they meet the, you know, Westerners, then they change. But otherwise, they've been like that, who knows? You know, some of these Bushmen and that, they've been like that for millions of years. You know, it works. Right? Like that. You know, it's I saw this one thing, that someone, they were going along and they walked into an area that they'd never been into, in Africa, in the savannah. None of the animals were afraid of them. So then they knew where they were. They were in the bushman's place. Because the bushmen live with the animals and that, and there's no problem. They don't cause any problem. So they don't get it. But in other areas, they know when they see the big white guys, run, because they're going to shoot you. Yeah. Like that. Yeah, and who knows what Bwana actually means in Africa. That's what the European hopes it means. It's like I saw a cartoon. It was, you had the Lone Ranger with this look on his face of complete, you know, disbelief and completely being dejected and, you know, all those kind of things all at once. and the caption was, "The day the Lone Ranger found out what is he always called? Kemosabe meant the backside of a horse."
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki.
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaura.